Hi, Undisclosed listeners. I know you have been waiting quite a while to hear a new case from us, and I'm excited to tell you that in 1 week from now, our fall season will be dropping. 10 new episodes, 10 new addenda, a crazy 30-year-old murder, and a convicted murderer who, if exonerated, would be the first such exoneree in the entire history of his state. So hold tight for one more week. But until then, check out my new podcast, Nighty Night, an anthology of original bedtime stories, some of which are based on true crimes that you will not believe. Nighty Night will get you in the spirit of the spooky season. New episodes drop every other Tuesday, so don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review Nighty Night. Thanks for being such an amazing audience. I'll be back in 1 week, right here in this feed, with our brand new season.
Good evening, and welcome to Nighty Night with Rabia Chaudhry, bedtime stories to keep you awake. I'm DJ Lubell, the show's producer. Tonight's tale is about a woman who was born with what many would consider a gift. She has an incredible sense of smell, but as you'll quickly learn, what might be one woman's treasure is another woman's putrid, rotting trash. Please enjoy Rot.
Please stop looking at me like that. I'm not crazy. You know how hard I've worked my entire life to stay sane? It takes a lot with my condition. I've had to learn to manage by filling my house with candles and potpourri, air fresheners and linen sprays and incense and sweetly scented dryer sheets and drawers. When people get close to me, they're like, "Oh, you smell so good." And I know I do, and I should. I mean, I better. I roll my eyes when people ask me what perfume I use, as if just a perfume would do. I mean, it takes layers. Scented bath wash and perfumed lotion and talcum powder, deodorant, body mist and eau de toilette, and at least 2 different eau de parfums, mixed and placed at different points in my body, on my wrists, on the inside of my elbows, behind my earlobes, and even on the little bony protrusions of my clavicles. I massage my head with scented oils. I even wash with perfumed shampoo, and when it's just slightly damp, I spray it with a light little mist. I mean, it takes so much to cover up the rot. You know, I've been dealing with this since middle school, and I wasn't even aware of it until I became a running joke in class. Some of the kids started calling me a garbage pail kid. Remember those? They would hold their nose when I walked by and snicker at me when I passed. And then someone left a note on my desk telling me that no one sat next to me because I smelled like curry and trash. The curry, well, I mean, how was I supposed to escape that? Not a day went by that my mother didn't start her morning by frying onions and tomatoes and garlic, ginger, cumin, cloves, turmeric, mustard seeds, and God knows what else. Because for her, having dinner made and out of the way before heading to work made her evenings easier. But it made our days harder, because it didn't matter if we were freshly showered, we never left the house without smelling like a pot of chicken tikka masala. So yeah, I already knew that I smelled like curry every day. But the trash part, I didn't understand. I remember running to the bathroom with a note and locking myself into a stall. And then I sniffed every part of me from head to toe. My hair, my shirt, under my arms. I leaned over and sniffed my jeans. I sat down in the toilet and lifted a foot to my nose, and then it hit me. It was my shoes. There was a putrid rot coming from them, and I had not realized it until that moment. And I had worn those shoes, those black lace-up ankle boots, for the better part of the entire school year every single day. I didn't own any other shoes, and I only owned 2 pairs of socks that I saved for gym class. No one told me that weeks and months of wearing them for 10 hours a day without socks would turn them into rank swamps. That night, I went home and scrubbed the insides of my shoes with bleach. See, Mother only bought me 1 pair of shoes a year, and I still had to get through 2 more months with these. I began lining my shoes every morning with clean paper towels and giving them a sniff before leaving home to get on the bus. I vowed never to let any part of me, not my clothing, shoes, breath, hair, skin, smell unpleasant again. I was really diligent about it, and I didn't just become sensitive to how I smelled. I developed a hound dog's nose for how the world around me smelled, and it didn't smell good. It's mostly rot. I swear it's not just in my head, the rot. It's real. I smell it everywhere. Not just on me, on everyone. And that's the hard part. See, I can bury my rot in layers of scents. I can fill my home and my car with deodorizers and air fresheners, but I can't do anything about the rot from the bodies of others. After all, we are basically just walking sacks of skin that hold together unimaginably foul fluids, bile, urine, sweat, saliva, pus, and of course, blood. You know, I began working from home years ago, claiming disability, and my condition is disabling, to be fair. It can be quite debilitating being under constant attack by forces that no one else can even sense. I just couldn't take it anymore. Smelling what another coworker had for their lunch on their breath, or having a colleague lean over my desk and expose me to the odor of their monthly cycle. Once, at a pool party, my boss lingered a little too close and I caught a whiff of his belly button. I know, you don't believe me, but there are few places on the human body as filthy and fetid as a belly button. I didn't actually realize this until, I think I was in my late teens. I had stepped out of the shower, all squeaky clean, and all of a sudden I smelled something decaying. It took me a good 10 minutes to figure out I was smelling my own belly button. Since then, I keep mine clean with hydrogen peroxide and Q-tips. You should try it sometime. Dig around and see what muck emerges. You're a walking sewer and don't even realize it. Anyway, I do my best not to go out much. For the most part, if I can keep a few feet distance from people, I'm okay. But there are times that the collective public stench is overwhelming. So then just imagine how hard things have been for me at home. You understand, right? I mean, the people you're expected to get close to always be holding and touching and cuddling, my husband and my child, that is, each with their own particular essence. Well, how was I supposed to manage that? You know, I was always worried about getting romantically close to someone, but then I thought, well, the chemistry of love would be the cure for my ailment, that a heart full of adoration would overwhelm my olfactory senses, that my system would be flooded with pheromones that blocked out whatever else I could normally sense. And in all honesty, that's what it was like in the beginning. And even in later years, there were times that it would happen, like the times when my husband's skin smelled like petrichor mixed with bleach from his undershirt, or he smelled like a clean bar of soap and warm tea, or the times that I held my infant son without a trace of rot, his body soft and sweet, smelling of heaven. There are times like that, but then the pheromones fade away and children grow up, which is how I ended up here. Look, it's not fair to blame me. The truth is, this situation was unavoidable. I did my best to be a loving wife and mother. But I still remember the first time that my husband's breath nearly knocked me off my feet. It wasn't the sour bad breath that we all get every so often. It was as if I was smelling the inside of his gallbladder right through his mouth. I nearly choked. How can someone's breath smell like a toilet? Like literal feces? The smell would come and go. And the crazy thing is, absolutely nothing else about my husband ever smelled. Even when he was drenched in sweat, he didn't smell. His feet didn't smell. His underarms didn't smell. The odors that are typical of a night of intimacy, you know what I'm talking about. Even those weren't present with him. That was probably why I married him. Nothing about him turned me off. But then the breath thing started a few years into our marriage, and like that, I began avoiding him like the plague. I felt terrible, to be honest. I mean, he would come up behind me to steal a kiss, and I would turn my head. He would want me to put my head on his chest as we watched TV, and I couldn't even breathe. I would joke about him needing some gum, but gum couldn't fix this. I bought special mouthwashes and toothpastes. I even got him a water flosser. I made homeopathic concoctions for him to gargle with. Of course, over the months, he started getting irritated, and my jokes eventually turned into anger. It wasn't my fault that his breath stank. He knew how sensitive I was, how much care I put into making sure that nothing about me is offensive. I begged him to go see a doctor. I knew there was something going on in his body causing those fumes, but he just wouldn't. Instead, he called me a bitch, said I was mean and cold. I'm not mean and cold. I didn't reject him over and over because I hated him. I missed wrapping myself around him. I missed our hugs and kisses. I missed nuzzling his neck and the soft warmth of his skin. I wanted to get close to him. But it was almost as if he was trying to spite me. Yeah, I think that was it. He didn't want to solve the problem just to spite me. Come to think of it, I wasn't the one rejecting him. He was rejecting me.